Welcome to the Scuff Podcast, where we talk about U.S. soccer.
Hey, it's WOSO Wednesday. Got Tara here and Vince. How you guys doing?
So good. 2 months until the World Cup. Women's soccer is taking over my mind. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, man, it's rushing up on us. Vince, how are you?
Couldn't be better.
Good.
A little tired, though.
Yeah. Same. So first thing is this USL Super League, a new Division I league in direct competition to the NWSL. What do you guys think?
I'm going back and forth on this, which I know is annoying. Like, just make a decision. But it didn't make much sense to me when I first read the news. But more women's soccer? Awesome. A possibility for a women's Open Cup? Amazing. It's not going to be in the same schedule as the NWSL, so that's a plus. If it were to not succeed, it wouldn't take anyone with it. I want to celebrate those things, but then it's like they will not have to follow the NWSL collective bargaining agreement that took years and years and years to see the light. There are NWSL coaches that have been banned. Are they just going to go coach, you know, in this league instead? Those things make me scared, but I'm trying to be excited about it.
What about you, Vince?
When you talk about a Division I league, and not just in the United States, but in the world, like a league that's going to be amongst the top six or seven, right? You're going to need the clout to attract international players. Like the residuals of the Americans women's soccer pool isn't going to get you there, I don't think. So you're going to need to be able to attract internationals from all different types of countries, and to be able to do that, you're going to have the ability for them to show to them that they're going to be coming into a competitive environment, and I mean, shoot, one that their national teams will respect. Mm-hmm. That if they're performing in, they'll get call ups and all these different types of things. And I just feel like it's a little bit too big of an ask. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess the question, of course, is can we really support two top flight women's soccer leagues in this country?
Like, you want to say yes, but you just don't know. It's risky. And I think to Vince's point about like what's going to be the poll, I guess it goes back to something we've been talking about. And it's the NWSL schedule. This league will follow more of the traditional European schedule around the FIFA window. So I guess that would be the poll.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be cool. But you know, there's the financial side and like putting people in seats and stuff in stadiums, but there's also the player pool side. And maybe this is just because I watched some NWSL over the weekend where just egregious performances by some of the players who are a little lower on the totem pole. But I'm like, there are some players on these teams who just consistently don't do anything good, you know. And maybe this USL gambit will, you know, pull from like the global player pool in a way that isn't a problem. But like, I don't know, man.
But
there is also a ton of college players that don't go drafted. Like, yeah. there's a player for the Washington Spirit. Paige Monahan, I believe her last name is, but she went undrafted and now she's starting in the NWSL. So I think that there is definitely going to be capacity for another league. I just am unsure about, you know, all the other aspects of it.
The young players, I will say, I think there are some like older players who in NWSL who are not very good, but man, the younger players, we'll get into this later, but it almost like highlights even more how good players like Alyssa Thompson and Jaden Shaw and like Chloe Ricketts are, because they really stand out, you know, immediately when they join the league.
Yeah.
So the future is maybe bright. It is bright, but
it is bright.
There's just a lot of uncertainty.
Well, I was just about to say, because if we're, you know, talking about using the quote unquote scraps, the remains of the American women's soccer player pool, like you're gonna, I feel like the big thing about the NWSL, right, is it's buoyed by like a good deal of our women's national team, which, boom, you got quality right there. Mm-hmm. Boom, you're bringing in, you know, Brazil's like six best players. And then stacking that with, you know, all different other types of internationals coming in. And so, boom, like when you got 10 teams or whatever, you instantly have a quality league. I mean, no disrespect, but once again, the remains of the American women's soccer player pool, like you're going to have to pull in so many players to even get to a league that's like, I don't know, like Germany level. In anything, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems pretty obvious that it's not going to be it just seems like a failed gambit. And to me, it would be more useful to everybody in this country if they just would be D2, you know, right. it, like having a pyramid, a women's soccer pyramid would be nice.
There are a small enough number of actual women's soccer fans who listen to this podcast that I feel like I can do this, but let me just bring up a player for an example. Dani Weatherholt. You guys know who she is?
Yeah.
Angel City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been watching a fair amount of Angel City this season. And I'm like, Dani doesn't do anything good on the field. You know? Like she starts every game. She plays next to Julie Ertz. She gives the ball away in the attacking third. It's like a guaranteed not scoring chance when she gets on the ball. And you know, what is this USL Super League going to be? Just a lot of Dani Weatherholts? I mean, I guess that's my worry. You know,
I mean, we're talking about worse than Dani Weatherholt, which you know, I'm gonna stick up for Dani a little bit. You know what I'm saying? She you know, she works hard.
She does
the job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, as we talked about, the NWSL has their fair share of hard ladies, you know, that just go out there looking to kick. And Dani's one of those.
That's pretty ruthless of me to say that about her. But I do think, like, if she sort of sets the floor in NWSL, maybe she's even above the floor. I don't know. It's going to be tough to watch these Super League games if the level is below the Weatherholt line, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Some sort of boring details provided by Stephen Bank, Prof Bank on Twitter, you know, kind of a longstanding provider of context on stuff. He said, to be a D1 league under, you know, U.S. soccer rules, you need to have at least 8 teams and then 10 by year 4. The teams have to be in at least 2 time zones. I don't know why that's important, but I guess it is. And 75% of the teams have to be in a market with 750,000 people in it in the metro area. So that's all of the proposed locations for teams for this league would be in a market that size, except for Lexington and Spokane. And I guess we should read the list of proposed places. It's Charlotte, Dallas, Fort Worth, Lexington, Kentucky, Phoenix, Spokane, Washington, Tampa, Tucson, Arizona, and DC. And then the places that maybe would be expansion possibilities would be Chattanooga, which would be cool for me, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Madison, Wisconsin, and Oakland, California. And then there are also financial viability requirements. The principal owner needs to have 35% stake in the franchise and a net worth of $15 million. Plus ownership group combined net worth needs to be north of $25 million. And you got to have a stadium with 5,000 seats in it. So we, you know, there's a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot before this gets going.
Hey, you know, if we got any landlords that listen to this podcast, if we get a collection of y'all together, you know what I'm saying? We can start up Scuffed FC. That's what I gained from this.
Like landlords, just because they're so rich, basically.
No, I mean, you're talking about net worth, man. They got properties.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
All that passive income. Sure. But I mean, that's really complicated. I have no idea how to feel about it. I'm unsure. I'm uncertain.
The other elephant in the room is just as far as attendance. I mean, like NWSL attendance it's good in a few spots, but
we're still breaking records. Even this past week, we're breaking attendance records.
Right.
That's why I go back to the collective bargaining agreement. Like, all of those protections put in place were for the players, more players to come over, to feel safe here. That's hasn't been promised in the NWSL. And
hasn't been promised in the NWSL or?
Yeah, in the NWSL, we've read the reports. It's been, you know.
Oh, I see. It hasn't been delivered. Yeah.
Yeah. But that also is like put into if you want to support a team, you know, you want to support a team that is there for its players. And if a new league comes in, like I hope that they learn from the NWSL's mistakes and start fresh and put those same practices into place. Because I just watched the first episode of the Angel City three part docuseries about the making of Angel City, and it was amazing. Like it is so good. I highly recommend it. I've only watched one episode so far. But it got me thinking, like, to hear of everything that was put into place, like 10% of their profits go back into their community. Like, they're trying to build a sustainable fan base. And I just thinking about a whole new league coming in to our country to compete with it, you know, it just makes me nervous.
Yeah. I mean, there's just way more questions than answers. Way more questions than answers. And you know, we need the answers before operation starts up, please. Because, I mean, you know, like at this point, you have to say, like, whenever and wherever the abuse can occur, like it will occur. That seems to be a fact of life at this point. Need more plans. We need your business plan, financials, motivations. Need a CBA in place. You need all types of things, man. Oversight for these clubs, like, come on. I mean, it really is a significantly higher bar than starting a men's league,
which we don't need another one of.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Right. I will say, sort of separate from this whole thing, it does seem like there's a press release every week about some new initiative at U.S. Soccer about, in response to the Sally Yates report. There's like a new thing just yesterday called the Safe Soccer Clearance Program. So there's just like, they're trying to do a lot of different stuff.
I saw that press release, and it is relevant because there were so many burnt bridges. Like, there were so many things that we got wrong. And so when building back up and when seeing the successes that some of these newer teams are having in the NWSL, like that didn't just happen. Like it took years and years of fighting for it. And we're trying to, you know, correct these wrongs and make it better for the future players. But yeah, like it not being affiliated with NWSL has me worried.
I see these press releases and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get it. We could have all these trainings and like these complicated curriculums, but like, just stop hitting on your players if you're a coach, you know? Yes. Like, don't have sex with players if you're a coach.
Portland Thorns won the entire thing last year. They were the champions of NWSL, and their first time coach who came in won the league was amazing. It got fired for kissing players' necks during the celebration. Like it's
don't kiss players' necks during celebrations.
We have
it's not that complicated.
We have to be very aware because crazy things are always happening.
Codeine, You know,
don't forget about the codeine.
Yeah.
For real. Like, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we can rely on these soccer house initiatives, but you just have to have your own stuff in place. Have to have your own stuff in place. Like soccer house is now setting, you know, a floor, but we need to, you know, player safety, player experience needs to be at the ceiling. So I don't know, man. I just don't know.
I just don't think it's
we'll see.
That complicated, you know, like just keep your dirty hands off the players. All right. PSG lost to Lyon in the Coupe de France final.
I think that was pretty expected, but Horan went 66. Hooray, Lindsay Horan. I'm looking forward to her season being over soon so she can get a nice break, rest that knee up for the summer. But, you know, a trophy's a trophy, so that's exciting. Michelle Kang was there, who is the owner of the Washington Spirit. And it was rumored that she was going to be the owner of Lyon. But it was just a rumor up until, I think yesterday actually was the official announcement. She owns them now too. So hooray, Michelle Kang, hooray, investing in women's sports. Hooray at all. But honestly, I was hoping that she was going to help us out some and bring Kat home for a little practice before the World Cup. That is not looking likely. There are nearing official rumors. Like, I don't know the spectrum of rumor. This one is nearing fact, but it's not official yet. Kat Macario. Kat Macario likely to sign with Chelsea, and what a bummer that is. Like, I don't want to watch Chelsea. God, I feel like this summer was everyone's hopes and dreams of finally being able to not watch Chelsea if Pulisic leaves, and now Kat's gonna join. So, hey, at least she's alive, right? Like, we don't know anything else about her.
Yeah, she ain't playing in the World Cup, is she?
Hell no. Hell no. And I mean, we had those clues, man, when she was on our metaphysical.
Yeah, you know. I was going to say being all mystical about a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I took the cues from that, and I was like, yeah, it's not looking too good. She talking in a lot of hypotheticals and no concrete, no nothing going on. And the fact that, you know, you're not going to come to the NWSL and get you a taste of this Challenge Cup, get you a taste of this regular season. NWSL got minutes for you,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and plenty of weather holds on the field that you can
replace
quite easily. Yeah, it's sad. It's always a thing that Vlatko is going to have in his back pocket. Be like, I didn't have Kat. I was going to build it all around Kat. Didn't have her.
Yeah.
But
I am taking this like sorrow and turning it into anger. Like, why will Leo never talk about her? Why are there never any updates? Why has there been nothing put out or nothing asked about her progression? I think it's baloney. Like, you need to speak on your, she's one of the most talented players in the world, and they're just never going to tell us what's going on.
Balderdash.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, isn't it, couldn't it just be that like the prognosis has been grim from the start, but they didn't want to like shut the door on it.
Then say, you know, she was expected in training. It may be a couple more weeks, something.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. I have to say like the Kat ACL and the Kristen Press ACL has changed the way that I've looked at ACL injuries. Cause you know, at this point, you know, when somebody tears the ACL, it's like, oh, okay. You know, some people have been getting back in like 8 months and in different sports or whatever. And, like these two examples have just reminded me that, you know, it's not that cut and dry. It's not that cut and dry. It's not like a, it, as much as we want it to be like a, you know, as straightforward as a muscle tear or a sprained ankle or something, it still is not. It still is a very significant injury, and
timelines will differ.
Yeah. But
if it was a man who had the career that she had this past season and the promise that she has, like, there would be an update. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. There'd certainly be more media pressure for an update.
You know? There would be acknowledgement, even if there's nothing concrete they can say.
Yeah, I think that's true, for sure.
That's fair. But also, you know, these pesky Europeans and their they're very opaque when it comes to these injuries. Even on the men's side, but yeah, we probably would have slightly more information. Like a little something.
Yeah, I mean, Macario, who would be the male equivalent to Macario in Liga 1, you know? Neymar, maybe? I mean, maybe not quite that high, but it's like up in that area. There'd be a thousand reporters pressing Lyon for an update. Well, also, I'm going to keep talking about her. Corbin Albert played about half an hour off the bench in this game. Continues to look tidy and quite good to me. There's a bit of a discussion going on in the Discord. I said I think she is a better soccer player, or at least a nicer soccer player than Andy Sullivan right now, though it is kind of difficult for me to assess like how she looks for PSG versus how Sullivan looks for the Spirit. But I think she looks good, and it's truly amazing how good some of these former U20s look. I know we've talked about it, but specifically Thompson, Albert, and Shaw after that performance.
True. And Moultrie.
That screamer was a deflected shot. Let's be honest.
But I definitely am not going to take the bait there. Corbin, please, Olympics 2024. It could be her time. I think after this World Cup, we as a collective have got to say enough of the retirement tours. We need a new coach. We need a new roster. We need to start fresh. I think it could be so exciting. It could be so empowering. And it makes me think, like, we're getting so much news, like, on the Monday Review about how amazing JT Batson is and how amazing Cindy is. I want to know, when are they going to, you know, remember that the women's team are, you know, quite good and deserve some of this good fortune. After World Cup, maybe?
Yeah. See, you just got to wait on it. You just got to wait on it. They didn't want to rock the boat this late in the cycle. You know what I'm saying? Vlatko's as good as a sitting duck at this point.
Sure.
As soon as the World Cup comes and goes, and hopefully, you know, we lifting the trophy at the end. But, you know, that boy's out of there.
Maybe he and Greg Berhalter can go back to having 3-hour coffees every Saturday morning.
Did you guys see this? Vlatko went on a Sirius XM radio show called The Coaching Academy. And he spoke about the incredible, these are his words, not mine, the incredible experience he had where Barry Pwels, is that how you say it? Anyone know?
Pwels.
He's the director of technical development for U.S. soccer. And Barry would set up these weekly calls between Vlatko and Greg Berhalter on Saturday mornings, and there would be a topic set. It reminds me of like speed dating a little bit. But Barry and Greg and Vlatko would have to speak on that topic. And Vlatko is romanticizing it. He's saying all of a sudden 3 hours would go by, or the games in Europe would just end, and now they can talk about what happened in Europe this morning. And Vlatko is speaking on it about how those conversations were some of the most educational he's ever had, or how much he learned from something Greg would say. And it was truly adorable, but I was blown away by the dorkiness of it all.
You know, I mean, I'll set my snideness aside for a second and say, I'm sure they were fun conversations. You know, I would like, why, like, release the tapes. Let's go.
But it definitely had me thinking, like, if U.S. soccer, if it's important to U.S. soccer for the men's national team coach and the women's national team coach to collaborate or to have, you know, some sort of a relationship, maybe, and this is a bit of a stretch, but stay with me, maybe in this hunt for the men's national team coach that's going on right now, maybe once they found their person and the men have their coach set up, maybe they're going to take all of those best practices, you know, like corporate language, best practices that they have found in searching for a men's coach, JT and Sydney and Crocker and all of them. And hey, now it's time for a women's coach. What do you guys think?
Are you talking about replacing Vlaco before the World Cup?
No. Like this summer, the World Cup's going to be over early August. It's now time for the women to search for their coach, right?
Yeah.
And then we get to build a young, dynamic, diverse roster for the Olympics that do not have anyone on a retirement tour. It's going to be incredible.
Mm. So I don't know if y'all had caught this, but the U-17 coach Natalia Astrain has left the Fed. She's actually going to be doing like commentary on the World Cup. I forgot for which broadcaster, but for anyone that watched the U-17s play, I know Tara and I did. They played extremely impressive ball, and you know, the whole topic that got us to this place in the first place was how much better these U-20s look after playing for Tracy Kevins, who I just don't want to see near a youth national team ever again. But yeah. So I'm looking at Astrain as a potential. I don't think I'm saying her last name right. She's Spanish. It might be Astrain, something like that. But anyway, I'm looking at her as a potential replacement for Vlaco. I know she really hasn't proven too much as far as like the CV or whatnot. But I would be all over it. And really, I would fire my club coach today. I would fire Kim Bjorkegren. I love you. He's a very large man. He's like, bro's a solid like 6'7". But Natalia is like gonna be like a rising superstar in the game.
I was really thinking like the timing was suspicious with the Bay Area team coming soon. I was wondering if she was, you know, gonna throw her hat into that pool as well.
Like any any NWSL team, it would behoove you.
It's a great time to talk about the U-20 CONCACAF Championship that starts next week. You know, we still have Tracy Kevin, so who knows what it's going to be like. But you brought up the U-17 team.
I don't know if I can watch.
You brought up the U-17 Women's World Cup team and how fun it was, because it was a blast. These players are really, really talented. And there are six of those players on the U-20 roster. So six of them got the move up, which I'm really excited about. But to go back a second, we're in Group A and we play Panama on May 24th. We play Jamaica on May 26th and Canada on May 28th. No NWSL players were released, so Alyssa Thompson, Jaden Shaw, Olivia Moultrie will not be there, which is fine. Like, they're going to have much bigger and better competition in the NWSL.
Yeah.
But six of the Women's World Cup players, Valentina Amorel, I'm saying that wrong, defenders Ella Emery, Savannah King, Giselle Thompson. So Savannah King and Giselle Thompson were two of the highlights for me when watching this team. They both were incredible. And then midfielders Lauren Martino and forward Onika Gamero.
Huh.
really, like, really talented group of players, which I am excited to watch.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I think for Tara too, if I could speak for Tara. Well, I don't know. I think Tara might be on the Thompson family payroll at this point.
Giselle Thompson is going to be better than Alyssa.
Does she also play with boys?
Yeah. And she's a defender. And that is, like, we have such a lack of young defensive talent. We're seeing it right now in the World Cup roster talks. Like, I think Giselle is going to come out rolling. And she also trained with Angel City in the preseason. Just little notes.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, the fact that she's a defender this early and her career is a little bit of a red flag for me, but I don't know. It's possible that she would be occupying the right wing if in that U-17 World Cup, if it wasn't for Gamero, who is, I mean, she's next up. You know, you talk about these wingers that we have, these playmakers that are just dynamic and lightning and just I mean, I think I referred to them as demons before, but you know, that she is another one of those, just an absolute dynamo of a player. And I can't wait. Even if it is for Tracy Kevins, I might have to turn on the TV.
Uh-huh. Which says a lot because it may not be fun at all. But these young players, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing all of them on the field.
Yeah, guys, if I can just break down how the U-20 team played, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. We had center backs, like when we're building out, the center backs were like on the touchline almost. They were split out that far with the goalkeeper in the middle, and they would just pass it between each other. And then they would just like see a lane to carry the ball. And that's how we progress play through center backs, just carrying the ball in the midfield. And if we lose it, then of course we're just like butt naked as the other team goes, like, you know, and gets a shot on goal or whatever. And I don't know. Mr. Batson, this is your next thing you need to tackle. You know what I'm saying? Take somebody off the coach search, and I don't know. We need to find get Tracy a very qualified assistant, something. But I can't keep seeing the talent spoiled, and in the few opportunities that we get to see them play in the first place.
Come on, Mrs. Trunchbull.
She does look like
that. She really does. Poor thing.
I think the next thing on the agenda is NWSL action, right?
Yeah. It remains incredibly challenging for me to wrap my head around how many goals have happened since the last time we've spoken.
We got to bump up the frequency.
I'll go with Alex Morgan first. She's scored a goal and then also kind of scored a goal, but it counted as an own goal, which, ugh. There was a game against Washington Spirit. It was in DC, and the Spirit were dominating. It was honestly kind of bizarre with how good San Diego Wave has been and how much of a statue there is around Alex Morgan. They were up, I think it was 3-0, and Alex scored one in the 89th minute. She was kind of on the ground, and then all of a sudden she wasn't on the ground and she got one back. So good for Alex. It's kind of odd to see San Diego lose. That was their second loss. They lost to Orlando the week before. But we also got goals from Trinity and Ashley Sanchez, so it was a fun game. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I mean, and really, Terry, you gotta put a little bit of respect on the Spirit's name. I mean, as a Spirit fan yourself, so the top of the table, Washington Spirit. You know,
I don't really have a club. I know it may sound like I'm the Spirit fan, but I'm a Trinity fan. I'm a Ashley Sanchez fan. I'm a Andy fan, but
okay.
No one went into it thinking that Washington Spirit were gonna beat San Diego Wave. I mean, like, they have the best goalkeeper in the world. Naomi Gurma is one of the best defenders in the world. It was a shock to a lot of people, but I mean, I still had a blast.
The Spirit do seem like a really tough out right now, you know. even mm-hmm. if they, even if Ashley Sanchez is missing a lot of chances in front of goal. And
last time we spoke, she didn't have any goals. Today she has 2 goals. So shooters, shoot.
Oh, Tara. And you know what? I do got to bring this up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because Tara tried to come for me on Discord, said, "Hey, Vince, you see that pass Ashley Sanchez made for the Trinity goal?" Which we're talking about the Trinity goal from last week.
Yeah.
Against
San Diego.
Yeah. That wasn't a good pass, Tara. It almost got picked off.
It resulted in a goal, so I think it was pretty good.
It should have been picked off. Not like almost got. It should have been picked off. Trinity is just a physical load for whoever she's going up against in the NWSL. They just truly can't do anything with her. And I think the defender there got a little flustered under the pressure that Trinity was applying.
I was
unable to clear the ball, but Ashley Sanchez does not get a point for that pass. No. But the finish on the goal was nice. Sorry.
Yeah, it definitely was nice. I saw a clip of like a after game press conference with the Spirit coach Mark Parsons, and they asked about Trinity and the national team, and you know, like the basic question all these coaches get asked when they have big national team players about, you know, they're going to be missing them for a while. And Mark was like, "I do not care about the national team," you know, which is what any coach should be saying. But he is playing Trinity Rodman on the left quite often. So I think he may actually care a little bit about the national team, because that's what gets Trinity on the field is Mal's absence. So I found that a little intriguing.
Yeah, it does certainly softens the blow of Mal's absence to have Trinity and Alyssa playing so well.
Yeah, but this isn't going to help with the idea that I'm just like some crazy Washington Spirit fangirl. Ashley Hatch is now the Golden Boot race leader, which is crazy. She scored this past weekend. She scored a PK. It was a late stoppage time penalty kick. It was very controversial, but she took a great PK. And
the Spirit deserved to win the game, I think, pretty clearly. And even though it was kind of a nonsense penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Ashley Hatch, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't think she's been, I don't know. She probably has been pretty close in the Golden Boot race in the prior 2 seasons, but
she won 2 seasons ago. I was about to say.
So yeah, I don't know if this is we can really count this as like a leveling up or anything. Like this is, Ashley Hatch is dominant in LBSL, man.
She's a handful. Yeah.
It took a hell of a penalty kick too. I mean, after watching our national team, after watching Rose miss the penalty kick, Horan missed 2 penalty kicks for the national team, it does bring me a little comfort to see some of these players who may be in a game, you know, in stoppage time, be able to take dominating penalty kicks. Because that's definitely Ashley Hatch. Like it was a good one. But
yes, we were for sure.
My whole point was she's the Golden Boot race winner now, leader.
Yeah.
That for me is one of the key differences between like the men's and women's game. If for me, like I don't know if the numbers bear this out, but for me, like penalties in the women's game seem like like there's a less chance of converting to me than the men's game. I would say in the men's game, if it's like a 75-25% chance that it's a goal, I would say in the women's game it's probably like a 60-40 or something. So I don't know if y'all agree, but that's just something I've picked up over the years.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. It sounds kind of sexist to me.
Tone it down. No, I'm just not sure. That's all.
I am kind of curious what the numbers are, and I'm kidding about it being sexist, obviously.
I think the stats will back me up. But also on Trinity, 3 goals, 2 assists so far this season. Her season high in the NWSL over her career was 6. She had 6-6 in her rookie season in 2001. So 3 goals in 7 games so far, which it took her 22 games to get those 6.
She does so many other things well, too. Plays defense well. You know, progresses the ball. She's ball secure. You aren't gonna knock her off the ball.
I think she's gonna be surprising a lot of people this summer. The timeline's just working out so well. Like, she's getting better and better every game. She's so dynamic. I'm so excited to watch her really explode for the national team. We haven't really seen that so much yet.
I know. I'm not just trying to like antagonize you here, Tara, but I have to mention this from Sanchez because it's just so annoying to me. She did you see that volley she had early in the first half?
Angel City game
where there's a corner and it gets played back out to the corner and then it comes back in and then there's a deflection and it loops up about 5 yards from goal and then she's rushing in on it and you know she's a national team player, she needs to be a difference maker and she needs to thump that thing in the goal on the volley and sure enough what does she do? She snipes a capo. You know, behind the goal. I'm tired of it. And then she trots back to her spot in the center of the field, just, you know, as if like she did everything perfectly. That's the look on her face.
You'd rather her be in distress?
I'd rather her be like swearing loudly.
Okay. To stick with Trinity though for a second, still in the Angel City game, I didn't think it was like a particularly exciting game, but there were a few moments where Trinity beat out Julie Ertz, which I took note of. That's great practice for the World Cup. Julie Ertz is still Julie Ertz, so I thought that was a big deal. And then there was a moment where Sarah Gordon, the defender for Angel City, caught up on a Trinity run, like half the field. She caught up with her with ease, and not a lot of defenders can do that. And it was just my shameless plug to tell you guys, I wish Sarah Gordon was going to go to New Zealand with us. I think she's very, very good.
So this is all fine and good. Do you have any comments on Ashley Sanchez there?
I think since the last time we spoke, she's scored 2 goals and got an assist, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I agree.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, let's just move to Alyssa Thompson because she was also in this game and she scored a goal. She scored a goal the week before. That one that many of you have probably seen where she cuts in from a tight angle onto her right foot and then rings it off the post. Great. She beat 80 French, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, nothing really French could do about it. Although French has allowed.
It was actually their other goalie, I think. KC keeps changing their goalies too much. I get confused.
French keeps scoring goals with her back too.
It's her second goal. Second goal this time.
But Thompson, I know we talk about it every week, or every other week, but she's just so good. She's so patient and tidy, and even in the spirit. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, you do not apologize to me.
Even in this spirit game, which was quieter for her, and you know she didn't get a goal or an assist. They lost 1-0. She still looked, I thought, very good. And I'm a little worried that her patience is starting to wobble a little bit. Cause she started pumping some crosses in when she could have found a cutback or, you know, soccered her way through it, to use a Velasquezism. But that's just something to monitor. Her getting poisoned by the, you know, the environment or something.
Yeah, it's okay. Once we get the soccer players back, the good soccer players back for the Angel City, you know what I'm saying? Press, hopefully, at some point.
I think LaRue even sooner. Yeah. I think she's
LaRue, right?
Yeah.
I'm worried
for myself that what is going to happen if Alyssa doesn't make the plane. Like, I really need her to go to the World Cup. I am just going to be so disappointed if Vlatko screws this up. I really am. That's all.
Well, there's definitely a non-zero chance he will screw it up, because so she's got to keep her foot on the gas, you know?
Yeah.
G plus A. Is Julie Ertz still Julie Ertz?
Yes. Don't even say that.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
This was her third game that you saw parts of the Spirit game. It's her third game with Angel City. Like,
fair enough. I mean, I was celebrating her return harder than almost anybody. But
yeah. No, she's still Julie Ertz. I believe.
Okay.
Speaking of someone who's not who they used to be, Megan Rapinoe. This past weekend, OL Reign played North Carolina Courage, and Megan looked bad the entire game, and it really bummed me out. It made me sad.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if I've said this before, but I do want to comment on the fact that, like, so people are going to come for me when I say this, but I don't even think Megan was, I mean, when you look at those performances, especially the Spain one, I remember the Spain one very vividly in the last World Cup. I was on my honeymoon and we were at a bar watching it.
Where at? I want to know where you went on your honeymoon. That's all.
I was in Florida.
Oh, pretty.
Yeah. She really wasn't playing that well, I don't think, in these matches. You know, there were some pins, there was a little tap in, you know what I'm saying? And so like all I'm saying is we're talking about throwing 4 years onto it. And I just don't know how it's gonna look, how it's gonna go. We all know she's gonna be there no matter what.
I remember being frustrated with her in the run of play in that tournament too.
Yeah. Yeah. But she, you know, she scored the goals, and I'm not taking that away from her. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Madame Rapinoe can bury a penalty. There's no doubt about that.
For sure. For sure. I actually got to see it, you know, in person. I talked about it last episode, but yeah, it's easy as Sunday morning. Anytime she steps to the spot. Now, she's never going to lose that, of course, but
Laura Harvey, after that game in Kentucky, I would bet my mortgage on Megan scoring a penalty kick every time. And I thought that was really charming.
Mm-hmm.
It's facts. I mean, there is. Yeah.
And then Laura pulled her off the field immediately after, because that's what she's there to do.
That shit was so funny. She literally ran from the she scored the pin because they were down, you know, no celebration, grabbed the ball, dropped it at the center circle and ran off the field. But yeah, it might be time Megan. Appreciate the service though. Yeah.
always
but even though, like, I mean, I would probably say, you know, just to be a designated penalty taker, it might be worth a spot.
If Haran keeps missing, sure. Yeah.
Might be worth a spot. Just in case, you know, you throw her on at the minute 119 or whatever, when you know it's about to be time. So, who knows?
Yeah. Let's move to Portland. Sophia Smith got another assist from a Crystal Dunn goal in Portland's game against the Courage weekend ago. Another cutback. It's just another Sophia dribbling at the down the left side, or like into the box from the left, and then you just basically everybody fixating on her like a lodestone. And then, you know, if she finds that cutback, it's a goal. And Dunn finished it cleanly. Anything else on Sophia before we talk more about Dunn?
No.
No.
It's not all about goals with Portland. Like, she just is such a creator. It makes it must watch TV. She's having a blast. I love it.
Yeah.
Dunn had two goals last weekend, against the Courage.
What a blessing. right? We get to watch Crystal Dunn score two goals.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm keeping it 100, I still don't know if we've seen a vintage Crystal Dunn attacking midfield performance for the Thorns yet. I mean, but you know, she also just completed her first 90 since the having of you know the lean baby Marcel.
The cutest boy out there. Oh, I fall for every picture she posts of him.
Did
that's
you call
aside
him,
the point.
Call the lean baby Marcel?
Crystal tweeted that her son is built like a linebacker and like he elbowed her in the face. And I just love him so much. Please. I love that baby.
I just want to go on record again and say I'm 100% comfortable with Dunn playing fullback for the women's national team.
Great. She scored two goals though, so
you could score goals as a fullback too.
It's a good time in NWSL. Crystal is scoring a bunch of goals.
Bells, how do you feel aligning yourself with Vlatko Andonovski?
I do feel a little weird aligning myself with Vlatko, but I just think Dunn, she solves the problem at left back like so completely. Or I guess it could be right back too. She solves the fullback problem so completely. And like, I think it's true. We haven't seen like a vintage attacking midfield performance from her. There's some games where she's kind of, you know, she doesn't get too involved. We need that against good teams. We're going to need her class and her intelligence to progress the ball from deep. And, so yeah, I reluctantly align myself with Mr. Andonovski in this case.
I definitely agree. She's the best we have. She's the best we have. It sucks that it's not the position she wants to play, but she's the best we have there.
She's a comprehensive solution.
That's not controversial. I don't believe.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like for me, she gets to show like her class and like she gets to play ball from that fullback spot. You know what I'm saying? And it's. It jumps off the screen every time you see it, for me, like just to see your left fullback just orchestrating things at times.
And if you can remember back to the Ireland camp, the first game, like the game we took seriously, she was always attacking. Like she was allowed to be very much way up the field, more so than I think we have seen in like the classic national team sense. So who knows, maybe she's helping Vlatko, you know, adjust a little bit, let her move up a little bit more frequently.
It makes sense, because for me, if you're gonna move, I mean, if you're gonna have one of those fullbacks attacking between Emily and Crystal, it would have to be Crystal. Like I love Emily, but as an attacker, like She's not totally refined yet.
I don't want to take anything away from Crystal, but Emily Fox is having a hell of a few weeks with North Carolina. She's
a baller.
She is, and she's thriving in North Carolina. It's exciting.
Hey, can I before we go on to Fox, can I say one more thing about Dunn?
Real quick, I just want to say she was thriving away in Louisville too. Thank you.
But she wasn't.
Okay, I mean, you must have a different definition of thrive.
In the sense of what she wants to do, which is get up the field and attack and things like that.
Oh, yeah. We had that issue with Kim. That is true.
I'm not saying she wasn't
good. Does Emily Fox even have desires, or does she just want to complete the mission?
She wants to play soccer, man.
She just wants to, yo, I'm telling you, it just soccer playing cyborg. That's all she's ever cared about is just playing soccer.
Somebody on the Discord, John, just in the last half hour, brought up the idea of, you know, this hot thing in men's soccer right now is playing an incredible center mid at left back and having that person occupy the traditional 6-8 zone pretty much as soon as you get the ball. I guess you could call it the Nick Lima role. Sorry.
Yep.
But you know, wouldn't Crystal Dunn be the goat at that? Can we have her do that more? And I feel like she kind of does do that a little bit, you know?
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely done something that resembles that over these past few camps, for sure.
So that just tags along with your point that she gets to play. You know, she gets to play soccer. You get to see her play at left back. It's not like she's hugging the touchline and just recycling possession and running back and forth all the time.
Trapped in a little defensive bubble. No, yeah. she gets to get out there, for sure.
But at the same time, she wants it. So therefore, I want it for her.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
But hey, she scored 2 goals. That's cool.
Yep.
Other midfielder, national team midfielder we can talk about, Rose Lavelle. She's still out, but Laura Harvey did say she is back in practice with the team. Collective sigh of relief.
I love it.
All looking good. Take your time, Rose. We don't, you know, come back soon, but not too soon.
Watch some tape of people not playing hero ball.
Yeah. That'd be nice. A little, you know, 1-2 here and there.
Yeah, just ping, ping. Come on.
And shoot. I want the ball off her feet.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? I'm marking it, but like, do we have to talk about Huerta?
No, I need to go in like 3 minutes.
Like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, kind of, but.
Well, let's just, let's do Sauerbrunn and then Moultrie, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. We need to talk about Moultrie for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do, okay. So, maybe, could you just say, Tara, could you just say skipping over to center backs?
Yeah.
Becky.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. What are you saying?
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, we probably need to talk about Tierna too.
Yeah. She's just been real bad, but you're the one that has to leave. Okay. Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Skipping over to some defenders. Tierna Davidson has been bad, guys. She's been very bad. Vladko has been at 2 Chicago games recently, so more than any other team. So putting the clues together, I think he's watching Chicago's backline. Tierna Davidson, Alyssa Nayer, Casey Krueger. I do have to say, Casey has been the only bit of goodness in Chicago recently. They're kind of plummeting, but Tierna's looking bad and she's officially off my list for New Zealand, unfortunately. RIP Tierna, love ya.
That's a shot. That's a shot. I mean, that is somebody, you know, but well, as we all know, center back is not, you know, as Bell's called Alana Cook last week, Mark McKenzie, you know what I'm saying? There's just something that we need to sort out here. And the fact that Tierna has not regained form upon the return from injury is...
It's concerning.
It's concerning, yes.
And I do like knowing where Vladko is. You know, he's made a big deal that club play is important now. And I like that he's been to 2 Chicago games, but Tierna has not been looking good. It's troubling. Along those same lines, kind of, Becky Sauerbrunn is still hurt, which is a huge loss for Portland. Like, Portland Thorns got their first loss this past week, and it's basically entirely because Becky is gone. Like, their defense is just not good enough, and I don't want to be, you know, a terrible person, but shouldn't Portland have a plan for if their 37-year-old player gets hurt? That's concerning to me.
Yeah. I honestly just don't care what happens with Portland, you know, all due respect. So I'm just worried that Sauerbrunn is hurt. She's
gonna
be
bad. You don't care about Sophia Smith winning games?
Not really. Oh. I mean, you were the one who said earlier you don't have a club. I don't have a club either.
Yeah, I like to see Sophia succeed, is all.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Would I rather Portland win than lose, yes, but like
it's not terrible for you.
Right. It's Sauerbrunn. I just think we need Sauerbrunn back before the World Cup, even though she is kind of old. We need him. We need her. And that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, there's not been anything timeline related that's come out from Portland or anyone else, but I'll keep you guys in the loop if I hear, for sure.
Okay. Last thing is Olivia Moultrie. She did score like what on first inspection looks like an absolute banger with her left foot last week. And let's not forget that dime she had earlier in the month. Was it earlier this month or late last month?
Yeah.
Time is an illusion. I have no idea. But two great assists now, one goal. We're looking good. Olivia's having a great season. Before you guys try and tear down a 17-year-old, just say she's having a great season.
I just wanted to get the ball out of her feet a little faster when she tries to pull the trigger. But she
totally
will.
Valid. Yeah. I think the progression has been really, really good compared to where she was last season so far. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, when the World Cup starts, this is going to be her team. She's going to have a lot of...
You're talking about the Thorns. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking her. When she's at the club, it's going to be Moultrie time. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
For sure. And yeah, I mean, this is good for me to see because, you know, as I've said before, I just didn't know what exactly I was supposed to be seeing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we had the U20 World Cup where even though we talked about a lot of players looking better than they did at the World Cup, you know, you still saw brilliance from Alyssa Thompson. You saw brilliance from Jaden Shaw. You saw some brilliance from Michelle Cooper. You saw some brilliance from, so actually that might've been it, but, and the ones that struggled were the more midfielders, which, Corbin Albert and Olivia Moultrie. So had a negative experience there for me. And then in the NWSL last year, it just looked like, it looked like she couldn't put one foot in front of the other, which, like literally when I'm talking about like running, couldn't put one foot in front of the other, but it turns out she was going through a growth spurt, which makes a lot of sense. And now you get to see her quality. You get to see her quality show through. And now I get it. Now I understand what's going on. And now I understand where her strengths lie and what we can kind of expect from her as she develops in her career. So,
and she's a trailblazer. Like we come out here so excited to talk about Chloe Ricketts and Jaden and Alyssa, and Olivia's the one that sued the NWSL to allow her to even play. Like, yep. She's going to have a legacy. Who knows what it's going to be like with the women's national team, but like, she's the one who did this. Sure, somebody probably would have eventually, but we can't say that. Olivia did do it, and now we get to see young players start to really thrive in this league. But yeah, good 2 weeks in the NWSL. We'll see what happens next.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.